So we spent the last couple of days discussing the bigger, broader themes of when Esh HaTzach reappears, something that we'll continue to discuss, when B'dyabed, even when there's a Doraisa obstacle for Yibum, they say Kinyan, what the criteria are for those things, what the various Shitas are, and also a little bit, which we need to speak more about the relationship between Kiddushin and Yibum in the context of the Zika itself. So I want to talk about that, not today, but more as well. We still have to get to the bigger, some of the bigger issues of Zika. But for today, what I'd like to do, as I think we indicated, is go back to the implications for Machzor Grushaso and Sota, and to try to finish that part off. So again, let's have just somebody one more time, just very quickly, read, the Shakavataria about Machzor Grushaso. Okay, so we've already encountered some of the problems. I just want to go through the, identify the issues, at least in the Rambam, and talk a little more about them as well. Okay, so let's see who we haven't. Gabe.
Hi.
Okay. How are you? Okay, great. So then we're going to put this in your very capable hands. Okay, you can say whatever you want. No. Okay, so just run through the Gemara again, this very quickly, on Yud Aleph Amid Beis, Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur and the Chachamim, so that we can identify what the issues are. At least we can, as I say, we can, we can make a list of the problems, and then, we'll suggest some speculation. Again, we talked about this last year, for those who were here last year, but, now we have added, we had some things that we focused on last year, and some added elements through Yibum this year, but go ahead. Okay, just take us through it. Again, it comes in because of Sota and the relationship between Sota Sapek and Sota Vadai, as we know, correct? And of course, that continues to color, the perspective on Machzor Grushaso as well. Okay, so we'll see how that is. Go ahead, Titania. Go ahead. Okay, so for Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur, right, number one, Machzor Grushaso is limited to Nisuin. The illegal Machzor Grushaso is limited to Nisuin. And this is based on the application of Acharei Asher Hutama, which certainly makes more sense in the context of Nisuin than Eirusin. Although the question a little bit is, why? So again, firstly, it's not so common. We'll say it's very rare. Well, we say it in the positive and more accurate way. It's very rare for an Iser to be dependent upon Nisuin and not Eirusin. Okay, that's number one. Most of Dine Ishus, type violations, since the Kinyan is a Kinyan Gamor, already at the time of the Eirusin, in terms of Eishas Ish and things of that sort, you need a get after that, and so on and so forth. So the idea that Machzor Grushaso depends on post Nisuin, post-Eirusin, is something already that catches our eyes, again, in Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur. It's going to be, even more heightened by the fact that, as we'll see soon, that the Rambam has these very, the Rambam and the Ramban, as we've already noted, seem to accentuate Nisuin. We'll document this, in just a couple of minutes. They seem to accentuate Nisuin, even though they paskin like the Chachamim. So, if we felt, that part of the enormous Kiddush of Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur is the fact that he's projecting like Nisuin in a din like this, which is, usually something depends on, Eish HaSish. So it's further reinforced by the fact that, you could drop this very easily. You know, you'd be expected to drop it if you don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. Just trying to provide perspective. And yet, both the Ramban, as we'll document in a minute, and the Rambam, you know, continue to kind of cling to this idea. So that's point number one, or that's two points. Number one, Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. Number two, the echo of this in the Chacham. Point number three is to note, is to ask the question, which I already referred to other times, and that is, really, we're talking about Nisuan here, or we're talking about, you know, the, you know, what usually comes with it, and that is the physical relationship, meaning the Amaisa Bia. Right. So, again, Rashi here, as we explained, you know, speaks about Vinivala. That doesn't say that in the Gemara, right? It's Hutama Vinivala, right? So is that the point? And that, you know, explains this a little better. But if you take it, you know, just being dependent upon Nesua, and you don't assume that that's like a projection, you know, that there is Maisa Bia. So there are two other possibilities. One is the Heter Bia is what's, you know, Koveya, not necessarily the Maisa Bia. Even in Rashi, I'm not suggesting that, you know, there has to be a Maisa Bia. I'm suggesting that, you know, for Rashi, you know, it may very well be that that's the assumption or that's the low plug of this din. But if it's not exactly that, so is it the Nisuin per se, but Nisuin betoras heter bia? Or is it Nisuin as, you know, kind of an expansion or an intensification of the ishus, of the relationship, you know, between the husband and wife? And that gets us to, you know, the issues, like what does Nisuin, what value, let's say, or what status does it add to the kinyan or the ishus of Erusin and Eishas Ish? And as we know, you know, there's Tumah, there's Nadarim, right? Minafaris Nadarim. There's Yerusha. There is Chenek, right? Whether or not, you know, the Chiv Ksuva is dependent upon Erusin or Nisuin, that's a very interesting an interesting issue also. Even if it applies to Erusin, assuming that it's Daraisa, or maybe even if it's a Dindrabanan, but assuming that, you know, this Dindrabanan is, you know, a reflection of the status Daraisa or Kiyum Daraisa, it's interesting to note that the Rambam, in you know, his treatment of these topics in Hilchos Ishus, seems to suggest that, you know, that it's particularly uniquely, you know, linked to the Nisuin, you know, part of it. Again, I'm not going to, you know, document that at the moment, but even if Lemaisa Erison, you know, triggers some sort of a ksuva, right, the full, let's say, ksuva is associated more with the suet. So there are four, five, six different, you know, issues that on a Daraisa level or reflecting a Daraisa level, you know, Nisuin adds to Erusin. And, you know, if it isn't, you know, and of course, Heter Isha Labala may be one of those, whether that's Daraisa or Drabanan, that is also a matter of debate, something we touched on earlier in the year. You know, both for the Rambam, who, you know, characterizes the Iser Oros LaRusa as something that is Midibri Sofrim, and in Perikyot Hilchos Ishus, and then in, you know, Hilchos Sota, when he talks about, again, Hashkoa Sota, we mentioned this already, he seems to say that, you know, the idea that he has to be Minuka Mikolavon in order to test, you know, her includes the prohibition of Arus V'Arusa. So again, in both cases, could be that he holds even Drabanans, you know, are applicable. Or more likely, he holds that the sort of Arus V'Arusa is something in between. Certainly the Ravid, not on the Rambam, but the Ravid, quoted also in the Shita Mekubetzes and the Shita Yishana and the Shita Mekubetzes and Ksubis, that think that, you know, the Asar Lanu Asar Rusos is a Din Doraisa. So the point is that while the status of Eishes Ish and the need for a get, or what I call the Kinyan part, the formal Kinyan part of Erusin, you know, I'm sorry, the formal Kinyan part of Eishes Ish is all accomplished through Erusin, and that's why the violation of Eishes Ish and so on, all of these things, including the Isur of Sota within the marriage, all of these things are triggered by Eishes Ish. Right, the fact that there are dinim d'oraisa or kiyumim d'oraisa or drabanans that are dependent upon this new level or this new status d'oraisa for nesuin, that, you know, so there are basically three possibilities, we'll say, or three ways, and they're not necessarily mutually exclusive, but, you know, either there's an assumption because there's a heter bia that there is a maisa bia and it's a kind of low plug, or it's the heter, you know, ishus gemura, there's no obstacle, there's a full matir, and that in itself kind of reflects in a significant way, you know, that this, you know, added element of the ishus. For example, truma, that's a big discussion also about, you know, erusin or nesuin, but, you know, there are numerous other issues. Baal ki ishto, ishto ki bala, you know, that's also, you know, connected possibly to her status as nesua, you know, beyond, you know, arusa. Gemara has a discussion with regard to, you know, kohen gadol, you know, beso, does that, you know, the kohen gadol has to be nasui on, you know, on Yom Kippur at least, and, you know, is that accomplished through Erusin alone, or maybe indeed Nisuin. Anyways, this view of Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur at minimum belongs on the list of Nisuin beyond Erusin, and we're trying to figure out, it's hard to know. You know, we're not getting so much information about it, but, you know, if it's technically that there was a, you know, Maisa Bia that makes it, you know, hard to come back. You know, if you want to emphasize Maisa Bia, so one possibility is that it's just hard to come back. That meaning, you know, if the, you know, if she was Ureses, you know, to, or even the Sua, but you weren't, you know, assuming that there was an automatic Maisa Bia, so that either wouldn't be called Hutama, and maybe the idea behind that is that, you know, you can still, you know, walk things back to the point where, you know, she can reconnect with her husband, maybe because the only real way to do matzah grushaso, you know, beheter, is by lapsing back into the old ishus, or not, but certainly if you took that perspective. But once there's either a maisa tuma, or it's viewed as a maisa tuma, or then it's viewed as, it could be that it's then viewed as sota within that ishus, or that it's just, you know, irreversible, you know, in terms of what has happened. And we're assuming that there's still a difference, you know, between a maisa bia in the context of a marriage, you know, beheter, as opposed to an extra marital znus, which everybody agrees is not, you know, enough to torpedo the maisa grushaso. So it could be that, or it could be, if it's based, as I say, on the heter or on some of these other elements which, you know, establish, you know, a more intense Baal ki ishto kind of relationship, the Yerusha, the Turma, the Afaris Nedarim, you know, maybe the Chenek, you know, the heter Bia, and so on. So then it has to do with, again, how much this ishus, the formality of another ishus maybe isn't the problem. The problem is this attainment of, you know, Baal ki ishto, ishto kebab. Just using that as a as an example, that phrase, you can't come back, you know, from all of that. Okay, so that so this because just Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur in its own right is very, very significant. Yeah.
Just quick elaboration. Rabbi mentioned Chanek earlier in one of the Nafkaminos, where he meant if it's Nara Ma'ora, so she's Beskila, then it's Benisuin Bechanek.
Yeah.
Otherwise, a normal Arusa is Bechanek.
Yeah.
Is normal
yeah,
Rusa,
yeah, yeah,
is,
yeah,
and a normal Yisua is also Bechanek. It's only that unique case of Nara Ma'ora, so where she's Beskila, that she then upgrades, she right. downgrades
the yeah, well, but that's okay. That's where the Nesuin part kicks in as a, that's but what the Gemara itself mentions, that that's one of the Nafkaminas.
For her. I'm saying any other Arusa would be Bechanek, right?
Any other Arusa is Bechanek. I believe that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to check, but I think that's correct. But Chenek is, what, again, when the Gemara mentions, you know, distinctions between between Arusa and Nesua, that's one of the cases on the list.
Is okay. Rabbi saying that Chenek represents a higher level of intimacy than Skila?
I'm just saying it's different. These are things that show, possibly, it's hard to know, but the point is it's a different Madrega, you know, shows that the you know, that is considered to be a different, you know, kind of a begida of some sort. Okay, good. So that is Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur. So we would have thought these questions in Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, as they say, and they touch on two things, obviously. Number one, the distinction between Erusin and Nesuin, which we just talked about very briefly. And things like, oh, duty day day kiyum, things like that, obviously. Can you be, you know, can you be matil, you know, tznoim, you know, on Nesuin the same way that you can Erusin? Things we talked about last year, you know, things that have to do with, you know, what about level of das? So the other things obviously are connected to this broader question. So that's one issue where Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur makes a contribution. And of course, it's that in the interface with understanding what the mechayiv of Machzor Grushoso is. Right? So obviously, depending on how you explain it, the way that we just talked about it, Machzor Grushoso for Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur has to have a certain character such that, you know, this difference maker of the Nesuin as opposed to the Erusin, right, is going to be a factor. Everybody agrees that there are differences between Erusin and Nesuin, right? The question is, you know, what about with regard to Truma? And what about with regard to Machzor Grushoso? And what about, you know, with regard to some of the other issues that are debatable? So there's always like two elements, you know, to be considering. And therefore, just to, you know, explain, you know, when the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, right, so the question is, like, what are they really arguing about? Are they arguing about Machzor Grushoso only, or is there some element also of the assessment of the, you know, expansion of the Ishus or the intensification of the Ishus to the role of Nesuin? Most likely, you know, again, it could revolve around what constitutes Hutama, but most likely, you know, that in itself is informed by a perspective on Machzor Grushoso. Okay, so we'll get to that in just a second. Keep going, Gabe, so go ahead. So that's just Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, though, at least, you know, maybe ironically, you know, Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, like if I had said to you, you know, Gabe, if I'd like, you know, just in casual conversation, the kind that we usually have, right? I said, like, you know, what do you think, you know, Gabe? Like, forget all of your knowledge for a moment, you know, just for a moment. And I'd said to you, like, what do you think would be more likely, like, to overlap, you know, with Sota? Let's say the Machzor Grushoso of Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, right? Or the Machzor Grushoso of the Chachamim, right? Who we're going to read about in just a second. Right? So you can't forget all of your knowledge. Right?
Right.
So if I had said that to you, like, well, what would you likely have responded?
Probably,
Then now you have to figure out what's the one that, you know, is the most unlikely one, you know, that otherwise... No, I'm joking, yeah. You don't speak like, you know, don't think strategically. Just think like, you know, truthfully. Like, which seems more like it would share a lav with Sota? That's what I'm asking. The view that says that Machzor Grushoso, you know, is only La'achar and Nisuin, or the view that it's even, you know, La'achar Erusin? And you might have like a, before you answer, you know, I don't want to, you don't have to say, you know, yes or no, this or that. You know, if you want to, you know, if you want to give me a complicated answer, like it depends, you know, maybe there's one thing recommending one and the other thing the other, you'd say you'd do that too. All right, I'm not here to curtail you. I'm just, yeah, go ahead.
I would just say after Nisui makes more sense just because by Sota, it's natural Maitsubi that's occurring. So
you would think. Right. So you would think that Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur's, you know, perspective on Masu Grishaso would be something that was more amenable to, you know, being comparable to, integrated with Sota, right? Because there's more of an actual, you know, Tuma, right? So, yeah, so if they're going to be, you know, like-minded, right, that's what you would think. On the other hand, it is true that Sota itself, right, is even, you know, within the context of an Arison, not necessarily an Asuman. But here we're not talking about within, we're talking about without, meaning, right, we're talking about what the relationship is between, you know, this woman and, you know, another, you know, another candidate. We're not talking about the relationship, you know, between, you know, the Baal and the Isha. We're talking about the relationship between the Isha, you know, and an Isha Cher, correct? Yeah. So that's what you would have thought, and yet that isn't how, you know, well, on another level, I guess you would think, that isn't exactly how it works out. So keep going. Yeah, go ahead. This is according to the Chachamim.
Right.
Yeah. So actually, it's the Chachamim, Achazu Achazu Asura, and Acharei Ter Hutama Lerabo Sota Shenistura. Okay. So, yeah, so what do you mean? So the question is what to make of that. So on the most technical level, right, it's just, you know, you have this extra, you know, pasuk. I mean, you have these extra words, Achrei Asher Tutama, that don't really, you know, resonate on the surface when it comes to Maksu Grishaso of Arison, right? And therefore they're miutar, you know, for some other meaning. You know, and that point of view, we can understand that, you know, that dafka, according to the Chachamim, right, this is a, you know, the idea that these words, you know, which, if you look at it that way, you know, which all seem to be about Matsu Grushaso, somehow, you know, we're going to, you know, really, you know, downgrade the pshat, you know, for the sake of a totally different drusha about something else, that works much better for the Chachamim. Right? That's if you look at it that way. But, you know, the more, you know, you look at it that, you know, A, how much are we downgrading the pshat? And B, even if we are downgrading the pshat, right, we still have to ask the question that I think is always on the Rambam's mind, but it's also on everybody's mind. That's the question of how much weight to give it. I think the Rambam always gives it a lot of weight, which is, you know, like, why did the Torah choose to convey, you know, this halacha, you know, in such a, you know, striking, challenging, you know, way? Like, you know, why not just, you know, add this to the parsha in Baloscha, in Bamidbar, right? Or, you know, there are numerous other, I mean, there are obviously many, many ways that the Torah could have conveyed the lav of Sota. It didn't have to, you know, be oker the pshat of Masa Grushaso, you know, for no reason. So you could say, well, we don't know. That's, you know, Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu. You know, we have enough to do. Haniglos Lanu. Right? But if we're supposed to ask that question, I guess, then it isn't so Hanistaros. And then it's certainly, you know, the idea that, you know, the Torah chose to convey something, you know, in an ambiguous way, or to convey something, in this case, in a totally, in a way that requires Masora, you know, it is against the reading of the pshat, you know, so you would think that that has something to do with some deeper connection between Maksa Grushaso, right, and Sota. Namely, even if these words don't apply technically to Maksa Grushaso, right, the institutions that we're talking about are connected enough, like that this is, by putting it here, you know, again, is the Torah by putting it here telling us something about Masa Grushaso or telling us something about Sota? Right? That we wouldn't know, except that it might be telling us something about both, which is would be the best scenario. So what is it? Would it be telling us about them? You know, that Machzor Grushaso, you know, is not just a technicality, you know, but that it is like a huge breach, you know, in Ishus in the same way that Sota is, as we've been discussing, right? And that Sota, again, isn't just like, oh, you know, she, you know, betrayed the husband, so now she's like a Zona, if you will, you know, to... you know, or a chalala or something like, you know, you can't have a relationship with her. What she did was terrible. So you could have thought that Sota is not a, you know, the Ishus part of Sota is the background. You know, that's what makes this, you know, a Begida and makes her a Sota, you know, who is inappropriate for him to have any, you know, further, you know, intimate connection to. Right? You could have thought that. But that doesn't mean, you know, that it's a, you know, an Ishus problem. Maybe the continued, you know, physical relationship between them, you know, is a personal thing. It's Isure Bia, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's an Ishus issue, right? So maybe the Machzor Grushaso, which certainly sounds like it's about, you know, the institution of Ishus. As I said before, you know, previously, in a couple of, maybe a week ago or wherever it was, right, in terms of when we were, or 2 weeks ago when we were talking about, you know, the tumah of each, and I was trying to show that in some respects, you know, each one is worse, right, when it comes to like, you know, Mamzer and She'er and Rabbi Akiva, it seems like Machzor Grushaso is worse. And when it comes to, you know, Yibum, and, you know, Tuma Ke'erva, you know, depending on whose position you take, right, maybe, well, Tosas thinks Yosef ben Kippur, it's the same, but the Chachmei Svar don't think even for Yosef ben Kippur it's the same, and the, you know, the other Rishonim think that it's not the same, you know, Lefia Chachamim. So, like, which is Kal and which is Chamor? The answer is, they're different. But the differences, you could have thought, are just completely, you know, established them as completely unrelated Isurim. You know, and one is about the Machzor Grushaso, again, about the institution of Ishus and so on. And, you know, playing, you know, games with that and undermining it. Of course, you know, not unrelated to the impropriety of this personal relationship also. This musical, you know, marriage is about marriage, and it's also about, you know, these individuals exploiting marriage in terms of their own, you know, connection. But, you know, by the same token, Sota is far greater a begida because it's in the context of the marriage. And that's what marriage is about, that exclusivity. Asar kulamaka hektesh. So that's on the one hand, but you could have said that it's not about the institution of Ishus, other than making it so chamor, you know, or no. So what Machzor Grushaso, you know, gains from Sota, if you will, in terms of perspective, is that, you know, in addition to the musical marriages and the institutional part, you know, this is also just very inappropriate. And the idea that, you know, it's a kind of a Sota, you know, not just because it might be connected to Sota, but because it actually might be a kind of a real Sota, you know, on some level, because he's trying to, you know, turn back the clock and relapse, you know, back into the Ishus, assuming that's what Machzor Grushaso Beheter is. But even if it isn't legally, it is on some level. If it is legally, then even more so. We'll talk about that. And if that's the case, then it turns out that, you know, when they do this, if they were to do this lapse back into the marriage, there would be within their marriage, you know, a whole other, you know, relationship which negates its exclusivity. So in that respect, there's a Machzor Grushaso, I'm sorry, there's a Sota aspect, you know, to Machzor Grushaso. And there's also a matzu grushoso aspect to every sota, in that, okay, they did this terrible thing. They're going to continue, you know, despite it. That's, of course, the line of the Ramban, which we'll just look at it again in a few minutes. But the Ramban and the Torah says it's almost like matzu, if they were to continue, you know, this relationship, it would be like, you know, matzu grushoso. Like the relationship needs to end. You know, he's chayev legarsha. So when he's chayev legarsha, you know, but they continue nonetheless, even if it isn't technically matzu grushoso, right? It's like a matzu grushoso. So in the sense that I've made this point as well, and it's true, you know, it's important to look at always, you know, when it comes to some of these issues, and we'll talk more about it in a minute, the fact that, you know, let's take the Rambam as a paradigm, you know, the fact that, like, some of these issues could be just as easily dealt with in, you know, in Hilchos Ishus, in Hilchos Gerushin, you know, or in Hilchos Isurebia. That's one of the things I pointed out last year as well. And the, you know, in some cases, the Rambam deals with them, you know, in both places, or in all three places. So, again, what do I mean by that? Meaning, Isurei Bia is mostly about, you know, an inappropriate relationship, you know, going forward, and just the relationship itself. Like, the Erva is all going to be in Isurei Bia, right? And the Psulei Kahuna, meaning, given these two people, and either the nature of the Kurva, or the past histories, or the higher standards, whatever it is, so there's an Isur Maisa Bia, Isurei Bia. Even then, as we've discussed this year, especially in context of Ibum, some or Nida, things like that, there's an Isur Maisa Bia in some cases, or some cases it's, you know, what that reflects about the relationship. But it, per se, that's what Isurei Bia is. Per se, there doesn't have to be, you know, an additional Ishus aspect to it, except that the Ishus aspects, in some cases, you know, just heighten, you know, the stakes, or they contribute, you know, to the Isurei Bia, you know, dimension of it. On the other hand, things that are like in Hilchos Ishus, you would think are about the Kiyum Ishus, like things like Kadesha. You know, if you have very high standards for Ishus, then, you know, certain, or the violation of, you know, Arus V'Arusa, you know, even if that's a Din D'Oraisa, it's not going to be an Hilchos Isurei Bia. Because it's a function, you know, of undermining, you know, the Kiyum Ha'ishas. And then there are things that are in Hilchos Gerushin because, you know, there's been a breach. There's been a huge undermining or flaw in the Ishas. And therefore, you know, it's under the context of there's a Chiyuv Lagarish, you know, and those are also Ishus violations, but not, you know, the absence of the kiyumim or of the institution as a positive, but the kilkul, you know, of the Ishus, etc. So, you know, when we think about these, like, what is sota? Does sota belong? Sota could also be kilkul sota, right? Is sota isurei bia halacha? Is matzu grushoso an isurei bia halacha? Or are they, you know, basically hilchos gerushin halachas? That's kind of what we're talking about. So if the Chachamim tell us that, you know, the word Asher Hu Tama refers, if it's a Gilui Milsa, then Ha'ilichu Deikai V'Ha'ilichu Deikai. Maybe that's what it is. But, as I say, at least L'Chatchila, we would assume that there's some relationship, and I'm trying to explain, you know, what it is that each one adds to the other, and the likelihood that they're, you know, that both of those matter, is very significant. Of course, it leaves us with a question, and that is, so is there anything left of the lav, you know, to for Machsir Grushaso, if you say Asher Hu Tama? And then it leaves us with another question, which is where the Rambam and the Ramban come in, and that is, depending on how you look at all of this, and especially since Gabe, you know, really took a stand here, right? That, you know, the more you think of Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, in a way, you know, the easier it is to explain sota, right? Maybe not from a institutional, you know, ishus, you know, you're playing with the institution, but certainly from the on the personal aspect of it, which accentuates maybe the attack on the institution, or which, you know, adds like a little bit to the, oh, this is like a sota in a way, or the sota is like a maksa gushaso, you know, in a way. So if that works better on some level, if you require nesua, right, then you wonder, you know, when the chachamim don't require, they say, echad arusa v'yachad nesua, you know, what do they mean? So you could say, oh, because this is just a din in arusa, and the nesua part is completely, you know, it's a fundamental argument. You don't need nesua here, and nesua here is not a relevant category, you know, etc. But there is something else you could say, if you wanted to bridge this gap, and that is one of two things. Either the chachamim might say echad arusa v'yachad nesua, but maybe there's still a difference between nesua and arusa, even according to the chachamim. Maybe the iser of matzu grushasa will apply to both, but maybe more acutely, and maybe there'll still be nafka mina between nesua and arusa. Then you have to be very careful, you know, to keep your eyes open for that. Or I think more likely that, you know, conceptually you might think that Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur is right, but that practically, you know, he's wrong. Meaning his vision of maksa grushaso may be something that you, you know, accept. Or even if, you know, you accept a slightly different, you know, vision, maybe you would agree still with Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. It could be that there are two elements. You're disagreeing with him somewhat, but you're still agreeing that even in your own vision of maksa grushaso, that nesua, in a way, you know, is a more acute problem than arusa. However, since you think based on the limud, or there's still enough in arusa, you know, to trigger this maksa grushaso, what you might be thinking is, and this is a big issue, that, you know, erusin's enough here, but it's not erusin, you know, focusing on the kinyan alone. It's erusin as tchilas nesuin, right? Or erusin as something which leads, you know, to nesuin. So some dinim of, like, you know, nesuin require nesuin. And other dinim, you know, just, you know, being in the, you know, process, you know, that is mitzuref to, or that, you know, again, no one thinks, you know, about the relationship between erusin and nesuin, you know, that the ultimate goal of the erusin isn't nesuin. Everybody agrees, you know, we talked earlier, not this year, but certainly last year, or this year also, because we talked about period of Arivia, you know, about the Rambam's idea that period of Arivia, let's say, in erusin, are two different dinim, right? They're separate in minin mitzvos, they're separate in the koteret, you know, to hilchos ishus, etc. You know, but, you know, it's lifros vilirvos ba, and we talked about the netziv, you know, on the shiltos, and so on, the issues that we spoke about, you know, earlier, you know, in the year. So the idea, and in general, of course, I mean, no one, even if erusin is separate from the suin, which it is, and even if the mitzvah, according to the Rambam, in my opinion, you know, according to some Rishonim, you could say the mitzvah is nesuin. According to others, it's, you know, half erusin and half nesuin, or, you know, or the proportions are different in either direction. We have a full range of views, you know, in the sugyas and ksuvas, in the first parak, regarding, you know, how to interpret the bracha and all sorts of other things. Not for now. But no matter what you say, even if you hold like my view of the Rambam, not Rabbi Raman or Rambam's view, meaning that the Rambam believes that the mitzvah is exclusively erusin, b'li kuchin elu mitzvah saseihim, you know, there's still no question, you know, that the goal, and that's how I, a little bit different than Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Zatzal, interpret the beginning of the Rambam, as he thought that the Rambam's beginning of Hilchos Ishus is kodem matan Torah adam pogel isha b'shuk ratzahu ratz tahi. He thought that was like, oh, you know, like important history, you know, and it's, you know, what Ben Noach's Ishus is about and what pre-Matan Torah is, and it explains, you know, why in the Nusach HaBracha we have Nisuin Kodem Le'erusin, like all those things, you know, but, you know, I think that's great, and I think it's true. But I add, like, but why do we care about past history? And I think the answer is because the reason that erusin is the focal point of the mitzvah is because in the end of the day, you know, that is a more aspirational, you know, in the bigger picture, way of accomplishing the nesuin. The goal is still the nesuin. It's still the ishus. It's still baal ki ishto. The mitzvah is when you're seeking to get married. That's exactly the way the Rambam put it in the Koteret, right? When you're seeking to get married, you know, then the method of erusin is the mitzvah. And the reason that is so is because the erusin, you know, enhances, you know, the goal of the ishus. And in the end, as an investment that looks, you know, to, you know, prepare the legal foundation, you know, which strengthens the, you know, the actual bond, you know, so that is the mitzvah, but the goal is always the nesuah. So having said that, even where certain dinim depend on erusin, right, you have to try to figure out erusin, you know, in its own right for what it brings to the table, namely the formal kinyan, oser. There are certain dinim that depend on that and that exclusively, including the violation of eishes hish, which is the violation of that bond, that formal, legal, and so on. Or it's erusin, you know, but it's because that's already, everybody will agree that some aspect of erusin, right, is, certainly the goal of it is l'shem nesuin. So then there isn't such a gap, you know, between, you know, these two sensibilities in terms of maksa grushasa. There might be some still, but, okay. So let's continue reading Gemara for just a minute. Was there a question first? Somebody had a question? Yeah.
And is it possible that you can make a similar point to the one that we made in the Rambam about the placement, or the potential placement in Ishas versus Isur Ibiya, or Deos, with the Parshas in the Torah here, that the fact that the fact that Sota and Master Grishasa are both not found in Nachremos or Kedoshim, but are exclusively found in the context of, in the general context of, like, the Ishas type of Dinin.
I do think so, 100%.
So yeah. even if you say that they're entirely divorced from one another, the fact that they're found in that context at all might tell us that they're more interpersonally or Begita focused as opposed to maybe...
Like an Isuri Via kind of a lot. Yeah, 100%. And again, we began last year, for those who were here last year, you know, part of our drama last year, and we mentioned it this year as well, by noting, you know, the ha'ara of some of the mefarshim also. I mean, I think you just read the psukim, you get it, but then later we found some of the mefarshim, including the Malbim, who says it, which is that, you know, if you read, like, the cadence of the psukim in Parshas Ki Teitze, you know, you get the remarkable, like, you know, impression, you know, that the whole parsha of Kiddushin and then Gerushin, you know, Gerushin more than Kiddushin, but Masu Grishaso, you know, even more than both Gerushin and Kiddushin. Like, the whole thing is, if this happens, and that happens, and the next thing happens, you know, so this is all like a setup, you know, to Masu Grishaso, you know, oive. So, as we noted then, that seems like shocking. Number one, we're talking about major institutions of Ishus, Kiddushin, Gerushin, you know, so they're just background for this, you know, rare, you know, in incidents, it's very rare. How many Matsu Grushasos, you know, do we really encounter? Or Matsu Grushaso Be'iser? I mean, it's very, you know, compared to, well, you can't have them without, you know, without a Kiddushin and a Gerushin. And, you know, thankfully, it's not, you know, Maisim, you know, Shebechol Yo. Like, whenever it happens, people, you know, raise their eyebrows. Whether they should raise their eyebrows or they shouldn't raise their eyebrows, that's a different question. But, you know, it's in incidents, it's rare. And in terms of value, you know, these are the institutions of Ishus, and that's a rare case that we have to figure out, you know, what to do with. So, like, what's the point of this cadence implying, you know, Kiika, Kiisha, you know, Uva Allah, and then Matzah Cheres, and then this, and there's a Gerushin. So da 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 da, ooh, there comes the crescendo, you know, Masu Grushaso. Very strange. So Mefarshim don't ask, they don't really say much about it as far as I know. But what I was trying to suggest last year was, and I believe in it very deeply, you know, that in some respects the institution of Gerushin is more dealt with more expansively than Kiddushin because it reflects something about Kiddushin. In the sense that, you know, this is a bond that you have to be matir and so on and so forth. And Matsu Grushaso, you know, is made on both Gerushin and Kiddushin, because it's all about, you know, this idea of the sacredness of the institution. And, you know, it highlights that. So, you know, that's why it's in Kitetze, in that Parsha, you know, and it's not in Achrei Mos or Kedoshim, and it's not, you know, even in Bamidbar, you know, with the rest of the Aseh part of Sota. So I totally think that that is the case. Okay, let's continue the Gemara for a minute, and then I want to just identify these things in the Rambam itself. Go ahead. But okay, and here's where you get to this Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur. So it's very interesting, of course. You know, again, you could say Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur, you know, is a more machmir, if you will. Not more machmir, more mekel, really. But meaning is he has a higher standard for machzor grushaso, which in turn makes machzor grushaso seemingly, you know, more of a, you know, personal, you know, kind of an Iser, or at least whatever. But, you know, according to him, there's no lab besota, which is quite quite remarkable. Okay, so, yeah. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur. So there is a lab besota. But the question is, since it's shared with Machzor Grushaso, right? So in addition to the question we discussed before about the implication of that, you know, just what technically, you know, what is the consequence of these, you know, two Isurim, you know, sharing, you know, a lav. Okay. And that's a technical question about lav shebeklalos.
There you go.
Right? Whenever a single pasuk bears, you know, multiple, you know, Isurim, what impact does that have on the Malkus and so on? There are different types of lav shebeklalos. Even the Rambam, you know, in his Sharashim, who speaks about it, you know, sometimes there's an Iker lav, sometimes there's not. You know, losokal al adam, you know, is one paradigm. You have other paradigms. So we'll get back to that as well, very, you know, briefly. Okay, so, but either way, it's just interesting that according to Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur, right, there is no lav besota, there is a lav, you know, and in the context of Nisuin from Asu Grushaso. Okay, go ahead. Kavaya v'ishus ksivba. Good. Yeah, then the Gemara's boy mine, quite quickly. Let's go there. Rav Yudim Rav Sheshes. Yeah. So again, according to Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur, there is a hafka of tzara as well. We were treating it like sota vada, basically, correct? And that is where Tosas says, yes, there's no chalitza either. And the Ramban, Udi Ime, I'm just doing a quick chazara, say no. Even for Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur, it's not exactly like sota vada. Correct? So even though, which is very interesting, even though sota vadai doesn't have malchus, and masu grishoso has malchus, right, when it comes to the hafka of nibum, right, we flip them in terms of the degree of the hafka. Not according to Tosas, but according to the Ramban and that whole school. Like, how is that possible? Which one is more, you know, chamor? The answer is, you know, we're two things. Number one, they're chamor in different ways. Correct? Number two, remember that we're not talking about the violators here. Right? We're talking about the impact of the violators, or the relationship of husband and wife, and therefore the violation, on Yibum. And that might be different then, you know, it's vis-a-vis the husband and the wife, you know, matzah grushaso could be worse. And vis-a-vis the impact on yibum, not only yibum, but chalitza and tzara, right, then could be that matzah grushaso is worse. Okay. I'm sorry, that sota is worse. Sota vada is worse. The other way. Yeah. Okay. Kiti boilach. So this question of the Gemara, you know, is, again, an interesting objective question, too. When you say, you know, ein mikra, and when you say mikra is yotze midei pshuto, right, how far does that go? Right, that's just an interesting question, and so, right, from a parshanut point of view. Technically, and also, like, can you ever completely ignore, you know, the pshat, you know, even if you can ignore it, you know, normatively, because it's a gili milsa, you know, halachically, can you ignore it, how, you know, conceptually? Right. Again, we had this question also in the sugya on Chavdalid, right, which we discussed earlier in the year, right, namely the question of, you know, Bechor, and the question of, you know, Shemo, that whole question as well, where, you know, the Gemara seems to say it's a case where, you know, we're motzi midei pshat completely, and then, you know, the Ramban, you know, of all people, even though on the one hand he's very strong on the shame part, but on some of the other parts, says, you know, it's not completely yotze midei, you know, pshuto. Okay, so this is an objective question. For us, in addition to the objective question, both, you know, in terms of limudim and dinim, but if not that, then conceptually, an interesting question. It's interesting to note that, you know, it might, you know, the Gemara is applying it to the question of, you know, is there still some din of tuma, legabe, tzara, right? But it would still seem as a davar pashut that according to the Chachamim, right, that the ikar, if I had to ask you, what's the ikar lav according to the Chachamim? Right? Even if you do share, you know, the term, you know, tuma, what's the ikar lav? Is it, you know, matzah grushaso? Or is it sota? Right? He did just shook his head very emphatically about the matzah grushaso, correct? Yeah. So the simple pshat of the Gemara is like, we want to know if there's like a remnant of the pshat here. But if you walked away from this Gemara, you would think that the Ikar, you know, Malkus, or the Ikar, at least those words, Asher Hutama, you know, would go dafka on matzah grushaso. And that they would, correct? Okay. However, what we'll see in the Rambam is that that is not really what he does, which makes it even more striking. I believe, number one, the Rambam Lashitaso, that he's like always connected, at least conceptually, if not more, to the pshat. He always asks that other question, namely, you know, fine, but why are we doing it this way? Or, you know, why this kind of limud and not another kind of limud? Or why a limud and not the pshat? Or why, you know, are we ochre the pshat, you know, in a way that is totally against the pshat? But we'll see. It seems for sure that the Rambam thinks that the ikar lab here refers to masir grushaso, and uses the expression in Perikid Aleph, Hilchos Geirushin, u'bichlal lav zeh sota. And while there's no question, you know, that the Rambam thinks that there's malchus in masir grushaso, there's a huge controversy about what his view is about sota vada. Moreover, if you look at Sefer Mitzvos, which we're going to look at in just a minute, in Shin Nun Vav, the Rambam, you know, if you were to read the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, Shin Nun Vav, right, you wouldn't even know, you know, that that this pasuk refers to sota. We know that in Perikid Aleph, but it's toned down. I'm going to read all the Rambams in just a minute, right? Ubechla lavze, as if it's a secondary, right? But in Sefer Mitzvos, Shin Nun Vav, the Rambam only speaks about Matzah Grushaso, And that's one of the reasons that the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos was unhappy. We'll get to that in a second too. Right, Hashmata Tesvav, he says, well, that you should count a separate lav. Okay, so we'll get to that. But in the Gemara, the impression is maybe there's an echo of Pshuto, of Tuma, Legabe, Tzara. Okay, but certainly the Ikar, Tuma, anyways, Asher Acharei Asher Hu Tama, which the Gemara thinks is connected to the question of lav and so on, is Legabe. The Gabe Sota. Okay, keep going. Just a little more. Ika Damri. Yeah, so that's even more, right? So there's no Tuma per Maksu Grishaso, and there's no Tzara. Right? I mean, there's no sota included in Masa Grishaso. You know, that's not the point. But there's a separate, indication, right, that he toeva vein banel he toeva vein sarasa toeva. So even though the language of Tuma is used, there's still going to be a chiyuv tzara. Okay, Odilma, right? Odilma, he toeva vein banel toeva. Right. Hatsarasa toeva. Okay. Then the Gemara has its proof, which we read, and which we'll, maybe speak about just a little bit more. Okay. So having said that, I'm sorry, I came late. It's my fault. But so let's look at the Rambams very quickly, and the Ramban. But first, let's look at the Ramban, and basically, I've suggested this partly the solution already. But there are three problems in the Ramban, I would say. So let's just start with, the Sefer Mitzvos for a minute. Gabe, you have it? What is it? Shin? Lo sase shin nun vav?
Yeah.
Go ahead. So it's a small one. It's not like one of these, massive pieces in Sefer Mitzvos, right? But that, that can be very misleading. Okay, go ahead, Gabe. Mehaksu Grushaso. Oh, so number one, it's Achar Shenises, right? Well, the Rambam Paska is like Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur. Right? This is one of three places. In my opinion, if it's even one place, it's significant. But if it's three places, or three out of four, that is particularly significant. Okay, what do I mean three out of four? Where are the other places? Gabe, see any of them? Well, one of them you should know for sure. I mean, you should know all of them, but one of them you should know for sure. Well, what does he say there? Is that he says that's not one of the three places? That's the fourth. That's the one that makes So what does it say there? Go ahead. Perakit Aleph Halacha. What is it? Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph. Or Yud Aleph Yud Beis. Okay. Yud Aleph Yud Beis. Go ahead. You have Gerushin Yud Aleph Yud Beis. Let's just go through these Rambams, and then, we'll... Gerushin Yud Aleph Yud Beis is where the Rambam speaks, about Masu Grishaso, right? It's in Hilchos Gerushin, Halacha mostly, correct? As we noted, not in Yisurei Bia Halacha, not a... So what is it? Yud Aleph Yud Beis. Go ahead, Amagarish Yisishto. So he says, Niskad Shaleacher, meaning apostles like the Chachamim. But what's also significant is that he adds the words, Afapi Shalo Baala, right? Which is almost saying, like, I'm drawn to say two things, of course. Number, I'm drawn to saying, you know, again, it doesn't have to be that way. It could just be like, you know, he's just making it clear. You know, but considering that, you know, we know that niskachala achar means, you know, lo nivala for the Rambam, you know, practically more than anybody, except for that Raivin and Shita Yishana. I mean, he's the one who says in Perek Yud Hilchasishus that it's not even just a stama d'rabbanan, it's a divrei soferim. And he's the one who says in Sota, you know, that it prevents hashkoa sota. So of course it means that. So he's saying, also, we would have expected that he say, like, apal pishalo nises, because that's the other option, and that's the option. So does this imply, like Rashi, that the nises, you know, would have been about, you know, the assumption of, or at least the heter, you know, bia, as opposed to the other aspects that imply, you know, a more intense, you know, bal ki'ishto? Not sure, but either way, Alpha Bishalom Bo'ala here, even though there's no kasha, you know, about it, the Rambam can clarify more if he wants, but it seems miyutar, and then when you know that the Rambam and the other places, you know, so far we've only seen Sefer HaMidras, right, says Nises, so both on both levels, both, you know, why he says it, but also it's curious that he says it this way, right, emerges important. Okay, Nesra Larisha, go ahead. Lo yuchal bala harishon. So according to the Rambam, that pasuk, which the Gemara's mistapek, might be nekar completely from the pshat, you know. And according to the Magid Mishnah, let's say, what is the Rambam's view about Sara, according to the Chachamim? Victor?
Yeah.
What's the Rambam's view about Sara? In a Yibum case, in Mas Rishasa. I'm not asking you like as a grandson here. I'm asking, you know, just as a member of the Shir.
Yeah.
A grandson or a great grandson? No, I'm sorry. Yeah. What's the Rambam's view? Like, if it was straight out, probably I wouldn't ask you.
I'm not sure.
Okay, Levi?
He doesn't mention it.
But it's striking that he doesn't mention it. It's a whole suffix in the Gemara, right? The Rambam doesn't mention it. The Magid Mishnah assumes that the omission means that there's no Ptur Tzara. Okay? So if you want, you know, if the Gemara thinks that that's what dictates, you know, the pshat or not the pshat, you know, so the Rambam's on the not pshat. On the other hand, he's very, in Sefer HaMitzvos, what did he do? Do we finish Sefer HaMitzvos? Or we just... Oh, Gabe, finish Sefer HaMitzvos first, and then we'll get back to, I just want to, these are all coming together, just, they're problems, right? Hishahizir Adam Mehachzir Grushaso Akarsha Niseis Lezulaso. That was problem number one. What do you mean, Nises? Right. So here in Hilchos Geirushin, it is, right, Kiddushin, Viniskacha, which is the Chachamim, right? Although it's Afal Pishal Obala, which I thought was very significant, raising the question what Nisuin maybe would have been, or, right, but certainly, once you know, he's saying, technically, you don't need Nisuin, correct? Okay. What the Rambam continues in Sefer Mitzvahs, what does he say? Right, all the Gemaras. Okay, now here, the Rambam says, So, Acharei Hutama, right? So, like, which is it? The Rambam omits Tzara, according to the Magid Mishnah, excludes Tzara, right? And by the way, you know, he knows how to say Tuma Ke'erva, you know, to exclude Tzara, and Chalitza, for that matter, as we know in Halacha Yud Tes. I already noted that, right? So, you get one impression of the Rambam, you know, in Hilchos Yibum, in terms of the how to read the Pasuk, that the Ikar, you'd think that the Ikar Pasuk would be for Sota. Right? But here, in Sefer Mitzvos, it's only for Machzis Grushaso, and in Hilchos Geirushin, it's primarily for Machzis Grushaso. Right? Halacha Yud Gimel is what? Zines Imacher, Kishi Grusha. Right? Harezu Muteres, as long as it isn't, you know, a Kiddushin. Right? Shener Rav Yatsi Beisra, Halacha Yishaker, Halacha Yasal Yishaker, Shi Kiddushin, Hisha Srasa, Albala, Lahafsirla. Okay, that's clear. And then comes Halacha Yudalid, which we still have to talk about. Ubechla, Lavze, Shakalisha Shazines, Nasra Albala, Velokale. Right? So that is not problematic per se, because that seems to be exactly what the Chachamim are saying. Except that if the Ikar was Sota and the Tafel was, or maybe not at all, Machzis Grushaso, not clear from the Gemara, that he wouldn't say Ubechlal Avzeh. Right? Moreover, in addition to that, we still have to clarify this. This is or isn't a problem depending on how you interpret the Rambam, and that is, does the Rambam think that there's Malkus for Sota Vadai? It certainly sounds like the answer is yes when he says Velo Kaleha. But when you put it all together with the, we'll sum that up and talk about it a little more, with Perek Aleph Hilchos Yisurei Bia and Hilchos Sanhedrin, you know, there are no Sekelim who are very convinced that the Rambam holds that there's no Malkus, Doraisa, for Sota Vadai. Which means that even though he omits Tzara, again, it's hard to know what that means, but let's assume that he doesn't believe in Tzara, which would mean that he's, again, you know, not even acknowledging the Pshat, you know, vis-a-vis Asher Hutama. But when it comes to the Malkus part and the Lav part, he flipped it in exactly the opposite way. Right? Okay, because again, Pshuto Shel Mikra, and he doesn't have Sota Vadai being Loka in Sefer Mitzvos. He only has Masa Grushasa, which is part of the issue. Now, this idea of Nises, as we say, appears three other times in the Rambam. I'm sorry, three other times? Two other times in the Rambam. Right? No, three other times. I'm sorry. What are the three times? Ezra? Well, first, right here, Hilchos Yibum, that's the one I mentioned, right, that everybody should know, because that, what does he say here in Yibum? Yud Gimel? Vav Yud Gimel? No, just that. Shenises. And it's remarkable that the Nosei Kelim say nothing here. I don't know why. Even the Frankel, which is usually very good on the Bekoros Vitzionim, on this particular issue, it's very shocking. In the Sefer Mitzvos one, he has some of the references, but they all leave out Yibum. Not sure why. And they leave out another one as well. So here in Yibum, he has Nises, right? Which is particularly striking again because, you know, in a way, you know, we're totally passing like the Chachat. It's not Tuba Katsara like Rav Yosef Ben Kippur. And we know how we paskins anyway, right? Where else does he have Nises? Akiva? The Koteret to Hilchos Geirushin. Anybody have that open for the moment? What's that? Akiva?
Yeah.
Misha Nises. And by the way, just... Again, it could just be it came out that way, but going back to my point before, like there are only two mitzvahs in Hall of Hilchos Geirushin. One is Geirushin and the other is Machzis Grushaso. Okay. But he has Misha Nises, which is not accurate. And then the third place, anybody know? What? No, Yisuri Bia, I think. Perek Tesvav, when he talks about or the Tesvav base, when he talks about another issue, which raises another question also. Right, Echad Mamzer Shanasa Yisraelis, or Yisraeli Shanasa Mamzeres, Kivan Shebo'alu achar kiddushin lokin. Kiddush v'lo baal ain't a loka. Baal v'lo kiddush ain't an lokin. Right? Mishum mamzeros. She'ein lecha b'kol chai ve'lavin misha loka al bi'ila b'lo kiddushin ala kohen god al bi'almana. This is the Rambam Shita. We should discuss a little more. Kimoshe Yisbayer, and then he concludes, Hamasu Grushaso Mishanises, right? Havlad Kasher, Shaharei Eina Erba. Right? So the din that Hamasu Grushaso's child, right, is not a mamzer, right? This idea of, you know, he toeva vein baneho toevim. It's an interesting question. Like, there's so much, like, pressure, you know, because of the language. You know, that maybe Masu Grishoso, the child, would be a Toeva, would be a Mamzer, even though it's just Chayve Elavin, right? Then you need a separate lien, but that's also very curious, right? If you look at Masu Grishoso, excuse me, as a lapsing back into the marriage, you know, almost like a, you know, like a violation of Eishes Ish. You know, then that makes sense. Again, not lahalacha, because we don't paskin that way, but why we, you know, need to exclude that, and why the Rambam needs to exclude that. But again, it's interesting to say, to hear that hamaksu grushasa mishanises havlad kosher, meaning even mishanises, but implying, again, like that there's a chalos of mishanises that is different, or you might have thought was different, or that even though we paskin that it's a din in Erison, right, it's kind of Erison, betoras, tchila. The real category is like, you know, if you were just, you know, mina Erison, you know, alone, you know, then maybe it wouldn't be loka. Probably wouldn't be happy with it. But the idea that Erison also is supposed to create the framework, the whole point of Erison is that it creates the framework for an intimate ishus. You know, that's what I'm suggesting. One of those two explanations. I prefer the second. Not that there, you know, are, you know, two levels of Machzor Grushaso. Again, if there are two levels of Machzor Grushaso, so that might be easy way to explain Isurei Bia. Right? Even Mishanises, you know, which is more like a real violation, you know, within the marriage, like because you're trying to lapse back in the marriage. So, you know, it turns out that there's another, you know, again, why that wouldn't be true for his nus is the problem. Is that what you want to ask?
I'm trying to say, like, you could say it's not a real havamina.
Yeah.
If he said, like, mishanis kadesha, then it would create this havamina. Like,
it would make what?
If he said, amatsu vishadu mishanis kadesha, that would really imply mishanis would be different.
It would imply that?
Mishanis would be different. If it doesn't have to be that there's, I mean, he's kind of forced to say mishanis.
Why?
If you would say there was only after kiddushin,
no. Oh, so you're saying what I'm saying, kind of. But oh, I see. You're saying it in a more practical,
yeah,
or less meaning. I'm saying maybe what he's thinking was, you know, that even nisuin. But I'm saying even nisuin because it's a chalos, or you know because, you know, the kiddushin is betoras tchilas nisuin too. And you're saying more like, oh, if he said, you know, misha niskadsha, then you would have thought. You know, but why would you think that once he paskins in the other way? I hear it. But it doesn't, I'll tell you, you might be right. You might be right. As opposed to the way I'm saying it, which is kind of the same, but I'm certainly conceptualizing it. You're saying, no, he has a practical, which is fine. It doesn't explain, of course, you know, not the koteret, you know, not sefer mitzvos, you know. So because of that, no, I'm sorry, not Sefer Mitzvot, not the Koteres, and not Hilchos Yibum. Right. But I hear it. So that's why I'm more likely to think, you know, that this is just, you know, consistent with that. And what the Rambam is saying is either that there really are two levels, or that you would think that there would be two levels, or that, you know, the Misha Nises is kind of the Mechayiv of Misha, you know, Irsa, you know, or Misha Kidsha, but I hear it. I hear what you're saying in this particular one. But there's another element here. And that is, I'm sorry, dead question?
In Sanhedrin.
Oh, I think. I'll get to your question in a second, but Kobe, right? Yeah.
There are also multiple Gemaras where the Gemara references Matzur Yerushasa seemingly first actor was Matzur Yerushasa, and this has Matzur Yerushasa.
Mishanisais. Yeah. Yeah. Which may have. Yeah. That could be because, they want to include Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur also. But I agree with you. I think the Rambam was very sensitive to all this. And, including the pshat of Misha. Again, we know that the Rambam isn't completely being ochre the pshat because he's saying it's the Ikar Pasuk, for the Malkus, etc. So, just like for Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, the, Asher Hutama, had a connotation. Just that the Rambam is saying, halacha is... That's what I'm suggesting. Erison. Here it's not Erison as Erison, it's Erison as the framework, to sanctify, and elevate, Nesuin. So it's really Asher Hutama in that respect. So but you're right, that he would only be reinforced by other Gemaras, which aren't specifically Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, also saying that. Now again, could you say in all those cases they want to be, Likula Alma or what Al was saying, which is, maybe in some of the cases, if you like this one, maybe, that's the bigger, chiddush, and if you don't say it, you might make that chiluk, right? So, but my own inclination in the bigger picture, is to think that he probably read. I think you're right. Those Gemaras also, and saying, oh. The din is Erison, but everybody's accentuating Asher Hutama, the pshat, or the Nesuin, because that's really, the din here. That's what I think is really going on. There's another element in all of this, and that is, I think there are three things in the Rambam. Number one, Matzur Grushaso, in some respects, is the Ikar Lav, I'm going to stop in a minute, and, Sota is the more Tafel, which flips everything, and also, brings the pshat back, if you will. Number two, the Mishanises, also the pshat and conceptually. And there's a third thing, and that is, less of a problem, but I think also very interesting, and that is in Shin Nun Vav. Talked about this last year, and I'll speak about it again when we finish this up. We say, over alav zeh, I'm sorry, lo yuchabal harishon asher shulcha l'shuv l'kachta achre asher hutama, over alav zeh loke. So some of the Nosa Kalim here point out that the Rambam, makes it seem like the Machsir Grushaso alone is Loka, where, the Gemara says very explicitly in Kiddushin, and of Ayin Ches Omen Aleph, that's where the Gemara speaks about Abaya and Rava. Should look that up maybe for Sunday. There's a suffix about Sunday. For now, let's assume Sunday, but I may switch Sunday to Monday. I'll let you know. But our next, shiur, whether it's Sunday or Monday. So you should look up that Gemara in Ayin Ches Omen Aleph as well. And the, Tshuva the Chachme, to the Chachme Lunil of the Rambam that's also quoted. You could look at it separately, or the Magid Mishnah quotes it in Perek Tezvav, Halacha Base, as well. And that is, the Gemara in Kiddushin Ayin Ches singles out Almana Lekohen Gadol, and Masu Grushasa. Second. Regarding this question, do you need Kidesh Ubal? Or Kidesh is enough, or Baal is enough? Yeah. So, again, if you look at the Gemara here, we'll look at it next time, but the Gemara says that Rava usually requires Baal loka lo Baal eina loka. Then the Gemara says, but Abaya, only requires Baal usually. So the Gemara says, Moda Abaya b'machsa grushaso shim Kidesh v'lo Baal she'eina loka. Lekachta liyo sol isham rachmana v'haleka umoda rava b'koin gadol b'almana shimbal v'lo kidesh sheloka. Rava normally says you require both, but in almana l'koin gadol baal v'lo kidesh is enough. Abaya right, normally says that kidesh lokeh, I'm sorry, kidesh lokeh ba lokeh, usually, kidesh lokeh because lo yikach, ba lokeh mishum lo yichalel, rabba amar ba lokeh lo baal ein lokeh, right, but modabaya, the masa grushaso, shim kidesh velo baal ein lokeh, but also in baal velo kidesh ein lokeh. So, if you look at the Rambam, right, the Rambam here in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, Perek Tezvav, spells out both of Hamachzer Grushaso Mishanisei Sablad Kosher Shareino Erba, and earlier Einlecha B'Kol Chai B'Lavin Mishaloka Al Beila Below Kiddushin Elakoin Gadol B'Almana in Hilchos Gerushin, Perikid Alf Halacha Yud Beis, Rambam says, Amgar Shishav Niskadsha La'acher, Afa Pizruna, Imhich Zira Harishon Ubala Loka. But in Sefer Mitzvos, it sounds like Kiddushin alone, Belibia, is enough, which is against the Gemara, and it's against the Rambam himself. So if you look at the, you know, the Marmakomos that they have here, they noticed it, and they tell you, they point out that something similar is true with regard to Mamzer. Like the next halacha, the Rambam, is Shin Nun Zayin. Is that right? No, that's Yavama, sorry. The one before. The one before? No. That's Kadesha. One second. Yeah, let me find it. What is it?
Shinundale.
Oh, Shinundale, the one before that. Thank you. No. Is it? Yeah. Shinundale, he shehiz here mamzerim shalolovo abas Yisrael v'huamara lo yavo mamzer b'kal Hashem. Right? He's here mamzerim lo lovo abas Yisrael. But over our lav zeh, loke. So again, they point out that like in Maksa Grushoso and in Mamzer, that the Rambam, you know, doesn't mention the requirement of Baal in these places. In Yisurei Bia, this is actually a big question about Mamzer. Here, actually, the Rambam says, "Echad Mamzer Shenasi Yisrael." Let's say Yisrael. This is the beginning of Halacha Beis. Kivan Shebalu Achar Akedushin Lokin. Right, and the Ravid and the Ramach argue. They say, "Omer Ravamein Zem Bechuvar." This is the Ravid. The Kashalei Mamzeres. There's a Gemara in Elunairus. The Elunairus. It sounds like from there that a Maisabia with a Mamzeres is also loke, Bli Kiddushin. Parchasam Irab Yitzchak Kasha Mamzeres. Right? Vamevin Yavin. Then in the continuation about Amana Lekoin Gadol, he says, Amar Avram, lo nisbayer, belo yisbayer. Ooh. Like that's depressing, right? It'll never be understood. Ha'omra lo yispa'er. Right? Nice. You could use that if you want. Kitos gedolahi. Right? Hashta iser kahuna dechsibbe lo yikach. Amrinan ba velo kidesh loke. Even though it says lo yikach, ba velo kidesh is loke. Hach psulim, hanach psulim velo ksivlu ela bia lechuda lo kol shekein. Why do you need kiddushin? Vadinosin shabia teyaser kedeshalay. Not only that, it was like a tamei mitzvos kind of arrived. Very rare, because the whole point is sholayar ben mamzeros be Yisrael. So, you know, you don't need kiddushin for that if it's sholayar ben mamzeros be Yisrael. Okay, uptzu adaka nesar kedeshalo tizane ishto tachtav v'hamamzeros rabba. Again, the Ramach. Also, Toma, Amrina Biksuvis, Lamadei Amid Beis, Yirab Yitzchak, Kasha Mamzeres, Tebishalim Knas, Afa Pisha Loka, Osa bia bivadai, right? Below kiddushani, v'afil hachi kama deloka. V'od loksiv ki yikach, right? It says demashma, right? The kiddushin kiim bisure kahuna. Aval b'mamzer ksiv lo yavo. Demashma bia lechuda. Anyway, this is a whole. That's what we'll look at very quickly. This is the whole tshuva that the Rambam wrote to the Chachamim Lonil, where he said, yeah, I know that Gemara. You know, it's true if you only looked at that Gemara, but you have to look at Shas, you have to look at... I think he actually uses the phrase there. Asher, you'll correct me if I'm wrong. I think he says there that you have to look sometimes at the global evidence, right? Or maybe not. Maybe he doesn't use that phrase. But that's essentially what he's saying, you know, to the Chachme Lunil. So anyways, but what am I trying to suggest here? So basically, there are three puzzles in the Rambam. Okay. One is, and they're not puzzles so much in what his normative view is. Clearly, the Rambam Paskin, like the Chachamim, and not like Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. I mean, that seems clear. It's only where he's speaking broadly, you know, about the definition of the mitzvah, you know, that he... You know, well, with the exception of Hilchos Yibum, maybe. I'm not so sure about that. But, you know, when he actually addresses the question where you would expect that he would, in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Beis, he says, you know, Kiddushin. Although, as I pointed out, even then, you know, it sounds like he is, you know, apologetic about it. Apologetic. I mean, he's, you know, he's reticent about it. Like, you know, it's almost like, should have been... You know, dafka babia or nesuin. So in the other places, he's sticking with that formulation. That's A. Four other places. B. It definitely sounds like for the Rambam, Matsu Grishaso is the ikar, you know, lav and the malchus, you know, vis-a-vis sota, both in the way that he presents it, as well as if you take the view of the Nosa Kalim that you don't necessarily have malchus in sota vadai, you know, under the raisa. Level, but even if you do ubechla lav zeh and the sefer mitzvos, you know, in contrast to the Ramban who counted two, but you know, even if you're counting one, you might want to make them equal, or you might want to have made sota ikar, frankly. So this again is another, you know, interesting nofech of the Rambam's unusual treatment of Maksa Grushaso. And then the third is that even though again it's clear from Hilchos Isurei, you know, Bia. And again, in Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Gerushin, Halacha Yud Beis, that, and based on the Gemara in Kiddushin, that he requires Kidei Shubal, it's a curiosity that he that shares with Mamzer in another case as well, right, that he kind of, you know, glosses over that in the Sefer Mitzvos and makes it seem like, you know, the Ishus, you know, is Ikar, right? And, you know, the question is why? But I think, you know, that the answer in all three cases is that this is the way that the Rambam, you know, is kind of zeroing in on the Mechayiv, you know, of Matzah Grushaso. And he's telling us that, you know, even though you do require Kidei Shubal, you know, it's an Ishus, you know, problem. You know, but it's not a formal Ishus problem. You know, it's an Ishus, you know, Shemeviyah L'day, you know, Ishus Gemura, you know, Heter, you know, Isha Labala, Baal Keishto, you know, kind of a problem. And I think the three, I'll just explain why Mamzer is another example of this, and Amar Lekohen Gadol the other. In general, you know, this question of, you know, do you need Eris and do you need Nesuin? And this other question, like, you know, do you need, you know, Bia Lechud, Kiddushin Lechud, or Nesuin Lechud, you know, or both of them, seems to be like a very fundamental question, like, you know, are we talking about Isurei Bia? Are we talking about Isurei Ishus? But what I'm trying to suggest is that it's a little more complicated than that. That sometimes, you know, you need Ubal, even if the Mechayiv is Kidesh. Sometimes you need Kidesh, you know, even if the real Mechayiv is Ubal. You know, and rarely, you know, it's as simple as saying, well, you only need one or you only need the other. So I think that the Rambam, you know, formulates the issue the way that he sees it conceptually. So we'll try to finish up with this, and then I still want to get back to the different views of Sota Vadai Malkus, and then I want to go back to the relationship of Yibam B'chalitza and the other Marmakomans.